podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talking about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
It's Bill. You're tuned in to episode number 431 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootaRooRadio.com, BillDeSean.com, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. With me tonight is Nate from the band Shrouded in Neglect. What's up, Nate?
What's up, Bill? How's it going?
I'm good. I feel like we're doing some deja vu here. Tell me about the band name. Where did it come from?
Well, the original band name used to be called, it was just Sin. It was named after my mom, Cindy. She was the original lead singer of the band. And so we wanted to do like a playoff of, you know, people call her Sin, C-Y-N. So we just named it Sin, S-I-N. And but we wanted to add more than just Sin. We didn't want people to think that, you know, that was just our band name. So we decided on Shrouded in Neglect. My our bass player at the time, my stepdad, he's the one who's like, let's just call it, you know, we can be Sin, but we can also call it Shrouded in Neglect. And we just kind of like went away from the whole Sin thing and became Shrouded in Neglect.
So tell me about the rest of the members of the band. How did they end up joining you?
Our lead singer now, Chris, he's been in the band for 5 years now. And when we played a show with his old band a couple months before my mom had quit. And it just so happened that he had quit his band also. So we called him and was like, hey, you want to come join us? And he was like, I'm retired. I said, no, you're not. And Rocky, he's been in the band the same amount of time, a little bit longer. And he came when my dad had left the band. We had posted a thing on social media looking for a bass player, and he was one of the first guys that contacted me. And it took a while for me to contact him back because his profile picture was Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys, but I had never seen that show before, and I was like, there's no way that we can have this guy in our band, because I thought that it was Bubbles. But yeah, he was a little bit relentless about getting a hold of me, and I decided to check him out again and realized that wasn't really him. So I was like, let's give it a try. He's a phenomenal bass player, and he's been a great addition. And John, our other guitar player, I've been playing with him for, we've been in various different bands over the years since we were 12, 13, 14 years old. So we've been, you know, best friends, and we learned how to play guitar together, basically. So, and Seth, our drummer, he's been in the band for 2 months now. He's our newest member, and he's young, got a lot of potential. He's phenomenal, and it's been a great time writing material with him. It's been a while since we've been in the writing process since we released our new album, and it's nice to get back into that process again.
Speaking of the new album, Kill All Humans, is that based off of initials too? K-A-H, nah, not really. K-A-H.
Our first album was called The Haunting, so we had kind of like a little bit of a supernatural type theme to it. A couple of songs hinted on that a little bit, but not really. We just wanted to have like a theme to the album, and we wanted to keep that going with the new one. And we're all into like... you know, conspiracies and alien, you know, UFO stuff. And so we decided to go with that theme. And actually that bled into the writing process. A lot of our songs touched base on, you know, aliens and stuff like that. So we went with Kill All Humans.
So it's almost like a, now I'm going to blank. Kiss did one called Music from the Elder, concept album.
Yeah, like concept album. Yeah, the songs do kind of like tell a story. You know, a lot of the songs are about, you know, how the human race is pretty much doomed because of what we've done to ourselves, and it's time for, you know, another species to come in and take over and save the planet, basically.
have you guys ever played with Bethlehem?
You know, we had an opportunity to play with them last year, and I can't remember what happened, but either we couldn't do the show or the contract wasn't where it needed to be or something. I can't remember what it was, but we had an opportunity to play with them last year, and we didn't get the opportunity to, but we've always wanted to play with them.
Yeah, when I think concept album from this area, that's the band that pops into my head.
their commercials are the best.
What about I got to do these interviews earlier. Divine Tragedy. How about those guys? You ever played with them?
The name sounds really familiar, but I don't think we may have played with them in the past. I don't want to say we haven't, but we played with, over the last, 8 years or so, we played a lot of shows with a lot of different bands. So it's kind of hard to.
That's understandable.
Pinpoint, specific bands.
That's what I tell former students when I don't remember their name. You know how many people I've taught?
Right, exactly.
Like, I know your face. So if I was to look at your music collection, and this will give us an idea of your influences, what bands and albums might we see in there?
Oh, man. And my personal collection is I kind of actually get made fun of by a lot of metalheads when they see, like my playlists and stuff on Spotify and my records whenever they come over and hang out. It's just I'm very influenced by anything that I can find enjoyment or respect in. I never really got into like country or like any like the gangster rap and stuff like that. But music wise, I'm all over the spectrum. I've learned over the years to respect and enjoy all forms of music. But if you were to look at like my album collection right now, I got everything from, old school metal like Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden to newer stuff like, like Cannibal Corpse and stuff like that, like heavy death metal, Suicide Silence. And my favorite band of all time is Korn. So I have everything that they've ever released. But I also have stuff like Michael Jackson and Justin Timberlake and I'm a sucker for 90s alternative, man. Sometimes I get in a 90s alt like mood and I stick with it for a long time, like Silverchair and Toadies and even like stuff like Matchbox 20. Yourself or Someone Like You is one of my favorite all-time albums of all time. So
you're leading me into one of the questions that I ask sometimes, so I'm gonna have to ask it. So, a while ago, I was reading an article. It was the 20 worst bands from the 90s.
I don't talk about bands I don't like. This is just saying.
So the question was, and you don't have to answer it, but the question was, could you name 5 bands from the 90s that you didn't like? But since you said that you won't do that, how about 5 that you absolutely do? The ones you just gave me.
Yeah. Obviously, Matchbox 20, I love Toadies. I love, Alice in Chains. Man, there's so many. It's hard to pinpoint, Mm-hmm. Soundgarden, obviously. Pearl Jam, I love Pearl Jam. I think that's 5. Is that 5?
I don't know. I wasn't counting. We'll go with it.
The reason why I say I don't talk about bands I don't like is it's too cool now to talk about like the bands that you don't like. It's like, I don't care who you don't like. You know what I mean? Like I go to like a band, I see a band's page or whatever, and they post something, you go into their thread and it's just like filled with just negative comments of people just trashing, it gets, it's like, who cares who you don't like? I want to know who you do like. I'll check them out. You know what I mean?
Well, here, I'll throw a local metal band name out. And if you haven't heard of them, you should check them out. Have you heard of Scale?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I was just at Rock for Life this past weekend, and Scale finished their set with 4 brand new songs. And it was amazing.
Right on. I didn't even know that they were. Are they releasing? Like, are they set to release anything new soon? Record?
Maybe.
Well, obviously, normally, if they're writing material.
Normally, Normally, I probably would be on the inside of that. I designed their website, but I didn't know until the night before. they came in to me. Mike Pallone came up to me, and he's like, "Hey, we're gonna play three songs that go together, and if you could get some pictures during that," I was like, "Okay." And then they played a fourth one that I wasn't expecting. That was another new one. And, there's a video of it on YouTube. It's very unsell-like.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. That's cool. I like when bands, you know, change it up a little bit, especially when you don't expect it. You know what I mean?
The third song had keyboards in it.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's cool.
The fourth one was scale-like. It was very, very heavy and sinister, which is the name of the song.
Oh, that's cool. But, yeah, I can't wait. I hope they release it, you know, for people to hear. That'd be great. I'd love to check it out.
Well, there's definitely, if you go to their website, scalarocks.com, and click on videos, there's multiple videos from last weekend, including all four of those songs.
Sweet.
Anyway, love those guys. and that kind of leads to another question. Since you like talking about bands you like, who are some of the bands that you've played with that if you weren't out playing on the weekends that you would go watch?
Oh, you mean like locally?
Yes.
Oh man. I'd have to say, like my favorite local band right now is Neverwake for sure. Those guys are awesome. They're doing big things, and I'm friends with all those guys. So definitely they, you know, if my band's not playing and I can get out of the house, they're definitely one of the bands that I like to try to go out and see. And they're usually playing with other bands around the area that also you know happens to be on the same bill, which is cool. Disillusion Effect is one of my favorite. They're more down south, but they're definitely a band that I would call off work to go see if I could.
That's Neverwake was on my my friend's podcast that runs on Build the Scene last night.
Oh, right on.
Justin was on with also with Jason Kazora from the band Silence Follows.
Those guys are awesome too.
They were on and they were talking about It was a concept that they were discussing different venues and what the food is like at those venues. And
oh yeah, I seen a post. Justin posted from Neverwake posted that earlier today. I saw it. I was like, that's pretty neat. I mean, they get like different members from bands together to talk and not just about music though, too. Like just talk about everything. That's a cool concept. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was Lady J's idea. I can't steal that from her. Are you familiar with her? First Angel Media.
Oh yeah.
She takes some phenomenal pictures.
Yeah, I believe she was at the last show we played actually at the Funhouse. We did a big metal show there with Post-Mortal Possession and a bunch of other.
Yes, she was definitely there.
Yeah, she took some great photos. Great photos.
Because she was there, and I was at Superheroes Believe in Miracles, which is it's a benefit show. After the fall headlined that, and, we were in contact while we were doing it.
Yeah. I believe that's how we, kind of got hooked up for this interview was she posted a live video of us and I saw you comment on it.
Yep. I believe that is true. So, why don't you tell me about one of the songs that you sent my way and we'll take a short break and, listen to it.
I'd have to say my favorite song on the new album is Here Goes the Lights, because it's got a lot of different elements in the song that kind of like generalize who we are. It's kind of hard to put us in a specific genre because we all have such different influences. But that song in particular, I think, really, really shows off like who we are as a whole package. You know what I mean? So if I was to introduce somebody to like somebody who's never heard of us before, to our music, that would be the song that I would pick. Cause it's like a melting pot of all of our music put into one song. So, that's definitely a song I'd, I'd, I'd like for everybody to hear.
Okay, so we're gonna play. You said it was Into the Lights.
Here Goes the Lights.
Here goes the Lights from Shot It in Neglect, and we're gonna play Everything's Fine by Skell, and we'll be right back with Nate.
Well. We'll be right back.
It's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 431, with Nate from Shrouded in Neglect. And you just heard one of their songs and a scale song. And if you were just tuning in, you missed us talk about how the band was formed, how their name came from the word sin, or his mom's name, Cindy, and a little bit about his musical influences that include Michael Jackson and Justin Timberlake. You're welcome for that.
Thank you.
Hey, every week I bring up the band Kiss, so everyone knows what my one that I would hide is. Huge Kiss fan. But anyway. ever heard of Inagata De Vita? The song Inagata De Vita?
Oh yeah. Iron Butterfly? Yeah. Isn't that the song that like radio DJs play when they have to use the bathroom?
Yeah, because it's like 20 minutes long. So we talked a little bit about you and a little bit about the band, and we'll continue on with those type of questions. But we did talk about bands you liked in the music scene. You mentioned Never Wake, and I talked about Scale, and I can't remember who else we mentioned, but they're in there.
There's so many. There's so many. If you're looking for new music, man, just go to Reverb Nation and put in Pittsburgh, PA, or you know, get search Pittsburgh bands on Facebook and get in some groups, because there's a bunch of awesome groups that are always promoting, and even your show, you know, promoting Pittsburgh bands, PA bands. It's some great bands out there.
See, this is the perfect time for me to bring up, where are you from again?
I personally live about 40 miles west of Pittsburgh in a little town called Smithfield, Ohio.
And but you're a Steelers fan, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're good. I'm more of a hockey fan than anything.
I've been a Penguins fan since this is going to sound like I'm a bandwagon, but since 1991, which is the first year they won the cup.
Right on. But, there's
I didn't know what hockey was until then.
I remember going to Wheeling Thunderbird games when I was a kid with my grandpa. Real young. I got into hockey when I was young.
My best friend, who I didn't meet until I was in seventh grade, was into hockey. That's how I ended up playing deck hockey up until 2 years ago.
Oh, right on. That's one thing I always wanted to do. I always wanted to play hockey, but from where I'm from, there's no schools. I mean, there's one school in Wheeling. I believe Wheeling Park might have like a hockey team, but there's no like youth hockey or anything like that down this area. And growing up with both my parents working, it's just impossible to be able to go to Pittsburgh 4 or 5 times a week. You know what I mean? So right. Never happened for me, but it was something I always wanted to do.
Yeah. I played deck hockey. I started when I was 13, and the last time I was on the rink, I was 39.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure that I'm completely done yet, but it's been a while.
Dude, they got them, don't they have the Colby Armstrong, I believe, does them beer hockey leagues or whatever every year. I think Mark Madden's involved with it. They do like, you know, deck hockey competitions every year.
Yep. They do. Mark Madden usually runs his at Hot Shots or the Island, Neville Island. But yeah, I have played goal in his presence. One time. And when I was warming up, he was making fun of me.
Oh, well, that's Mark Madden. He's always making fun of somebody.
And I gave up one goal in that game. And it was to, I can't think of his name now, but he played for the Czech national team. So he should have scored. <on me. laughs> Like the national ice hockey team, not.
Wow, that's awesome.
I played in another benefit, and do you know who Elaine Lemieux is?
No, I don't.
So he's Mario's older brother.
Okay.
And he played for Quebec, and I can't remember who else. He ended his career in Pittsburgh. He played one game. he was playing, and his line mate was his son, who was playing in the Quebec Major Junior League at the time. That game wasn't nearly as pretty. Elaine scored on me on accident.
Oh, jeez.
He was trying to make me look bad, and it went in. Like, he wanted to not shoot it after he beat me, and he mishandled it, and it went in. And he apologized.
there's not very many non-professional, like, that haven't played in, like, the NHL goalies that can say, you know, hey, Lemieux scored on me.
That's right. And I got scored on by 2 Lemieux in the same day. But okay, anyway, enough about me and Mario's family. So tell me about your favorite venue that you've played.
You know, I'd have to say my favorite venue throughout the years would have to be the Alder Bar, which is no longer a venue anymore. And it breaks my heart because it was such a great place to play. The staff was cool. The stage was awesome. Sound techs were great. It was an old church on the Market District. You know, I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yep.
But it was just a fun place to play. Loved playing there. Got to share the stage with Brian Head Welsh from Korn on that stage. played with Suicide Silence on that stage. Some of the greatest, some of my biggest influences. I've got to see play there, and I've got to share the stage with there. So it was a heartbreaker when I found out that place was going to close down. But that's definitely my number one favorite venue. But now that it's not open, I probably have to go with the Rex Theater. Is always a fun place to play. There's this cool spot called Cautivo that has an amazing sound tech. That's a cool place to play in Lawrenceville. And Mr. Small's Funhouse is like the funhouse is like our home base. We play there a couple times a year. Like that's their sound tech is great too, and it's always a great atmosphere there.
It's kind of Lawrenceville and that area has kind of become almost like a mecca.
It's kind of becoming the most popular thing to do around that area, which is great, knowing that seeing live music is popular, you know?
So have you ever had anything embarrassing happening to you on stage?
Oh, man. You got all night? Because I can name like 50 of them.
Pick the worst one.
I've cracked my face off of cymbals, headbanging. One in particular time we were playing with, I want to say Mushroom Head. Maybe it was Mushroom Head. It was a bigger band at Alder Bar. And I fell right off the front of the stage. That was embarrassing.
All those people that were there to see them went home and were like, man, did you see that guy?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so looking at all the music that you've made over your lifetime, let's stick with Shot It and Neglect for this question. Let's say there's an apocalypse, and a few people end up living through it, and they become the beginning of the next civilization. See, this goes along with your album, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Sort of. But only one of your songs survives.
Oh, man.
So all those people that are going to live on know your band by one song. Which song would it be?
Oh. Me personally, I'd have to go with the title track off our first album, The Haunting. That's probably my favorite song to play live. It's a riff that I've had in my head that I wanted to record since I was, 17 years old, and finally had the opportunity to record it with this band. And that song goes back to kind of like what the song that you guys just heard, Here Goes the Lights. It's kind of like a melting pot of all of our genres that we, that we may be classified in one. It's got a couple cool clean parts in it. It's got an awesome bridge. It's got a solo in it. It's everything put into one. So I'd have to say The Haunting for sure. The song FML on Kill All Humans, that song specifically, if you're talking about an apocalypse, that would be a good song for everybody to listen to.
Do you remember the moment that you realized you wanted to be in a band?
Yeah. Like it was yesterday. I was 10 years old. I was living with my grandmother at the time, and I was about a day away from taking violin lessons. And my mom had called me. She lived right next door. And she said, "Hey, I got someone I want you to meet." And so I walked up the hill and walked in, and there was this guy sitting on the couch playing guitar. And he was playing the song Cumbersome by 7 Mary 3. And for years, I thought that he wrote that song, but he later on became my stepdad. But he was sitting on the couch playing guitar and singing, and like right instantly, it was something clicked in my head. It was like, wow, I want to do that. And the rest is history, pretty much. He taught me how to play guitar, taught me how to write. Taught me how to do everything.
So if I were to ask you who your biggest influence would be?
I have to say my mom and dad, for sure, musically. because growing up in a music family, you know, my mom's, she was in the band to begin with, and her and my stepdad were in a band called Mongo Huey for years. And I remember going, you know, being 11, 12 years old, going and seeing them play in bars and see them open up for Cinderella at Star Lake. It was, well, it's now Post Gazette or Key Bank or whatever it's called now. Seeing, you know, seeing, and my dad, my biological dad, he was a producer and recording engineer in Pittsburgh for years. And he worked with the Granati brothers at Mulberry Street Studios. So being young and going up and visiting him and being around that atmosphere, you know, that's definitely what my biggest influences comes from, that group right there. What really got me started in the music.
If you could play with any band at any location, any, we'll go nationally or internationally touring band, what band would it be and where would you want to play with them?
I would say Korn for sure. That's my favorite band of all time. And it would have to be at, man, I would love to say like a huge stadium, you know, that's like the dream for every musician to like sell out like a stadium, you know what I mean? So maybe like Mapfre Stadium or something in Columbus would be cool. Or, you know, Consul Energy Center or something like that would be awesome. But there was this cool, awesome venue that I played at years ago called the Trocadero Theater in Philadelphia. That's where Lamb of God recorded their Killadelphia album. But I played there one time years ago with another band, and I would love to go back there and play again. It's like an old theater style place. That would be a cool place to play with Korn.
Is it a large venue?
Yeah. It holds like, I'd want to say like 2,000 maybe. Maybe 2,000. Well, so it's not a huge venue.
So it would be fairly big in your eyes and intimate in Korn's eyes.
Exactly. It's like a Stage AE type place, but like it's got an older theater type feel to it.
Cool. How about what's one thing that you absolutely love about the Pittsburgh music scene and one thing you would change about
it? One thing I love about it is the camaraderie between the fans, you know, the people that love to go out and see live music. They're relentless when it comes to going to shows on a regular basis. So if you get all you need is a couple of those people that go see music on a regular basis to talk about you, and it's becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And the local promotions like you guys and you know, the guys over that do the Millvale Music Festival, you know, the promoting wise from people that are dedicated to getting people to listen to your music. That's what I love. I love that about Pittsburgh. One thing that I that I don't like is the lack of promotion from the city itself. I should say, you know, I think that if Pittsburgh kind of modeled their way around like what cities like Nashville do, you know, when you turn on the news in Nashville, they're talking about what's going on, you know, live music wise. In Pittsburgh, it's not like that. They don't, you know, the media doesn't want to have anything to do with music. You know, we recently saw like a flux in, you know, the governor and, you know, politics wise wanting to be involved with the music scene, but I haven't seen any any like real progression from that. But I think if the city itself got behind music, you know, as a form of entertainment like they do with the Steelers, I think that would really boost the live music scene for sure. You know, you turn on the news and see what's going on, you know, that weekend or whatever, it would be a huge thing for the city, the musicians in the city at least.
Along those lines, are you familiar with 97.7 rock station out of Butler?
No, I'm not.
All right, so they run a show called The Grassroots Show, and it's all about local music, pretty much. It's a fully FM version of what I do here, whereas and much better produced.
I know the 105.9, they do a lot of work for local bands too, and I'm not trying to take away from that, because like the radio side of it, you know, the X does too. They promote local bands a lot too. I'm talking about like the media in general, the city itself. When it, you know, everybody's too worried about what Ben Roethlisberger did last week, when they could be pushing, like, you know, there could be thousands. There's an opportunity there for thousands of people to come and see you play because the city wants it. You know what I mean?
Right. Hey, so I'm going to ask you two more questions, and then I'll let you go, because I kind of held you hostage tonight. So the first one is, what would I hear if I played Shrouded and Neglect backwards?
You would hear a bunch of gobbledygook nonsense. To be honest, we don't have any like hidden tracks or anything like that. Or I could be lying to you to get you to listen to it backwards.
Well, see, now you need to put it on vinyl, because I recently bought a record player.
Oh, right on.
I never thought I would do that again. So if you put it on vinyl, I'll play it backwards.
Maybe we'll have to put like some crazy like alien sounds in there and make you think that you're going to get abducted.
Or I could do it the easy way and just put it in my editor and tell it to reverse everything and then listen. But hey, and the last question is, what shows do you have coming up? And along those lines, also, where can people find out about your band and where you play?
Right on. August 18th, we'll be at the Rex Theater with Mushroomhead, The Browning, Kissing Candace, Psycho Stick. I love those guys. And a few other bands on that are on the Summer of Screams tour. And then August 24th, we will be with Upon a Burning Body at Basement Transmissions in Erie.
And they can find you at shroudedinneglect.com.
Yep, if you don't know who we are and you want to find out who we are, the best place to look is our website, shroudedinneglect.com. All of our music videos from YouTube are right there on the main page. You can preview our music. You can give us money. You know, find out what shows are coming in your area. We got a bunch of shows coming up. And and we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You just put in Shrouded Neglect in the search bar. And if you got Spotify or iTunes or Rhapsody or Google Play, all that stuff, all of our music is available on all the streaming sites.
Well, thank you for taking the time to discuss your band with me tonight on
the show. I appreciate it.
And we're going to end the night here with some more of the best unsigned rock Pennsylvania has to offer here on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
So refresh my roasted brim collar.